Welcome to the Doug Haldeman Show, Mortgage and Real Estate Talk, a show committed to educating, empowering, and entertaining you while saving you thousands. Here's your host, mortgage expert and consumer advocate, Doug Haldeman.
Formal education will make you a living. Self-education will make you a fortune. It's time to gain knowledge and become the guardian of your financial future. I want to thank our sponsor, Cornerstone Mortgage, known for having the lowest rates and the smoothest closings.
If you have a question you would like addressed on the air, you can call or text the show at 314-472-DOUG. That's 472-DOUG, which is 3684. All the information from our show is on our website at smartwithyourmoney.com.
Smartwithyourmoney.com. We also have a podcast now, so you can look up our podcast. You can visit our website at smartwithyourmoney.com, or you can look it up on iTunes or in Google. Mm-hmm. Search for Smart With Your Money with Doug Haldeman.
Yep.
So good stuff. We actually are getting a lot of downloads already, and we hadn't even announced it yet.
That's right. It's kind of exciting to see the power of voice, the speech, whatever you want to say. We've been hearing a lot about the power of speech lately.
Yes, we have. Uh-huh. Especially with when it comes
the political.
To all the politics mm-hmm. going on right now. I'm your host, Doug Haldeman. I'm joined mm-hmm. with my co-host, my beautiful wife, Tammy Haldeman.
Thanks for having me.
Here to talk a little mm-hmm. politics, a little economics. We got a lot of different topics today.
We do. We do. Now, I don't know, Doug, I shared with you an article that I read by Mike Rowe. And you,
The Dirty Jobs guy.
I love him anyway. He's great. And he just is one of those celebrities that actually makes sense. I loved his message about the right to vote. He kind of speaks on that. I'll have the link on our website, but we wanted to kind of share a little bit about that.
Yeah, because I remember seeing when you showed this to me that somebody had written into Mike mm-hmm. and told him how much respect they had for him and said, I know that they're, I would never impose on you by asking you to advocate one politician over another, but I do feel this election could really use your help. Mm-hmm. I know there's many people out there that feel like there's nothing they can do, right? So use your gifts to make them see that they can do something and that their vote counts.
Right.
So he's trying to encourage Mike Rowe
to speak out
to get people to go vote.
Right.
Which was interesting. So what was his response, Tammy?
Oh my gosh, it's really long, but I want to just highlight a couple things. I mean, he comes from the space of just saying, thanks to his fan and all of that, but he said, and this was really good. He says, however, I'm afraid I can't encourage millions of people whom I've never met to just run out and cast a vote. He said, simply just because they have the right. That would be like encouraging everyone to go buy an AR-15, which is a gun, simply that they have the right to bear arms. I would need to know a few things about them offering that kind of encouragement. For instance, do they know how to care for a weapon? Can they afford the cost of a weapon? Do they have a history of violence? Are they mentally stable? And in short, are they a responsible citizen?
So he's trying to compare them.
Right.
He's trying to compare encouraging someone to go vote to should you encourage everybody to go buy
to
a gun?
Vote just because, right. So, and then he says casting a ballot is not so different. It's an important right that we all share and one that impacts our society in a dramatic fashion. I mean, it goes on and
what I like his main points there mm-hmm. are that not everybody should vote. If you don't know the topics, mm-hmm. if you don't know what they stand for, then you shouldn't go vote because you're messing up the system.
Right. I mean, there's so many ways to look at it. Is that, yes, it is my right to vote, but is it my duty or moral obligation to vote? Not necessarily. And so you got to find yourself if you are, because let's face it, right now, I don't think people are super happy about either one.
Right. Yeah. It's not two popular candidates.
Right. And he's right. In this article, he actually talks about how it's the lowest poll rates right now.
Lowest approval rates.
Yeah, approval rates right now.
What is interesting, what he said about how people from Hollywood mm-hmm. they're always the leftists in Hollywood that are really encouraging everybody to get out and vote. They do mm-hmm. this every election cycle. Mm-hmm. Are they really encouraging everybody to get out and vote? No, because
if they believed.
Right. Well, yeah, if they thought that the people were going to go out and vote for Donald Trump, then they would not want everybody to get out and vote.
Right.
That is not what they're saying. They're saying get out and vote for the candidate that we're encouraging you to vote for.
Right. And, you know, I think where I really appreciated his wisdom in this is that just the reality of how our government works. And so, like, becoming educated voter, and I can't impress upon this enough, it's, I feel like, when you know what you stand for and you can align yourself with what you hope to see the country become or be, you know, that's where you start finding out what the economics, the causes and effects of the political agendas. Because whether you're Democratic or whether you're Republican, it's, are you really educated about what it is you're voting for? Can you say 100% that you understand the causes and effects? So if we go with, I think some people are really talking about Bernie Sanders. If we went to a total free college, someone's got to pay that. It is not free.
There's no such thing as a free lunch. It's a first rule of economics.
And as a parent, that idea sounds amazing, but I know logically that that isn't free. I know that there is something else out there that I'll be paying more of, either personal property tax or, whatever.
Well, I liked what Mike Rowe also said about, he said, you know what, spend a few hours every week studying American history, mm-hmm. human nature, and economic theory. Start with economics in one lesson, mm-hmm. then try Keynes, then try Hayek, then try Marx, then try Hegel. Develop a worldview that you can articulate as well as defend.
Right.
Test your theory with people who disagree with you. Debate, argue, adjust your philosophy as necessary. Then, when the next election comes around, cast a vote for the candidate whose worldview seems most in line with your own.
Right. And I think where people are kind of falling is, like, who aligns with my worldview right now in all of that? And I think where I'm finding myself is coming back to the actual the party's agenda. I'm dismissing the characters that are playing the roles right now.
The poor characters.
Right. I mean, I have to take that in consideration because they are my representative in another country or in everything like that. But, you know, I think it's really important to look at the agendas and look at what is going to work for our country in our dire need right now.
I'm with you on that one. So we are not saying to get out and vote necessarily. We're saying to study the issues and get out and vote when you are prepared that you actually know what you're voting for.
Right. You don't have a lot of time for this one.
Right.
But, you know, try to speed learn, you know, figure
it
out.
Doesn't take that long. Causes and effects. I had to do that on several of these economic issues.
Mm-hmm.
When I talk
yeah.
about, is it great to lower the corporate tax rate way down?
Mm-hmm.
Is it great to get rid of inheritance tax, you mm-hmm. know, several different issues that I had to study up on to know, is it really the best thing or not?
Right.
So, when we think about the government and just their role, and sometimes they're a little too powerful. And Tammy, a really good example of where the government is too powerful is a CFPB. Okay. That's mm-hmm. the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. And they are the massive organization that the Dodd-Frank Act put into play after the economy crashed, that's there to police all of the financial industries.
Mm-hmm, right.
And they have been absolutely out of control since they were founded. So,
and these people were put in place by Obama?
Yes, by Obama. He appointed Richard Cordray as the head of the CFPB. And it was interesting. I reported on this story about a year and a half ago. So it was like June 2015, that there was a judge named Cameron Elliott who ruled there was a company, PHH Mortgage, that this Judge Elliott fined them $6.4 million. Okay, it was a pretty stiff fine for what they said were violations of RESPA, which is the Real Estate Settlement and Procedures Act. Well, Richard Cordray, who is the head of the CFPB, overrode the judge and said that the judge misunderstood the case. Okay, how do you say that the judge just misunderstands the case? And raised it up to $109 million fine from $6.4 million.
So this is a man with a lot of power and no boss.
Right, no boss. So that was 18 months ago, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Now, fast forward, PHH Mortgage sued the CFPB back, and it's finally gone through the D.C. District Court of Appeals, finally issued its decision on this, and their opinion is actually pretty thoughtful and extensive and addresses all the key issues that are raised in this case. Okay, so they basically they've thrown this case out. They've not only have said that they don't have to pay the $109 million, they dropped it back down to the original fine, but better than that they actually have ruled that the CFPB structure is unconstitutional. Mm-hmm. They've ruled this in court because there's no oversight.
Right.
There's no accountability or oversight right. for the head of it. So you have a head of an organization that Congress can't tell them what to do. The president can't even fire the head of the CFPB.
Which really surprises me that an organization like that was even created by the government. Like, because the government likes to be in charge of everything.
Which they don't think through the consequence of this stuff.
Right. And that, you know, that is the whole point in all of this, is to really understand the causes and effects of everything.
Right. And, they're not saying the CFPB should go away.
Right.
This court ruling isn't, but they're saying that there needs to be some oversight. Yeah. That at least the president needs the power to remove the CFPB's director at will.
For sure. Yeah, I agree with that. I think, you know, I think the intention to regulate some of this was probably pretty good, but then in the end, I just think that it needs to be reformed.
A whole lot of reform.
Yeah.
And it's scary, me saying that publicly. Hopefully I don't get the wrath of them for even mentioning this, because, not everything the CFPB does is bad.
No, it's not. I mean, the intention of its creation, I think, in the beginning was good.
Right.
To bring, everything back to balance. I think that's the point.
All right. So want to read more about this, visit our website at smartwithyourmoney.com. And we'll have some links on there that'll tell a little bit more about these cases. So coming up, we're going to be talking about the 5 things that you can do to make your finances less frustrating. You'll listen to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.